It is said that a man spends the first 20 years of his life answering the question from his mother, "Where are you going?" He spends the next 50 years of his life answering the question from his wife, "Where have you been?" And then his friends and family spend 1 hour at his funeral wondering where he is. The truth is that there are many today that, you know, they can live life and do their own thing, but that heaven thing and what happens after I die, there's just this uncertainty. For many people, they believe that their goodness is going to get them to heaven, that they're a good kid, that they were a good husband, a good wife, they were good parents. So most people are trusting on their goodness in order to get to heaven. And some people are trusting on what they would consider their lack of badness. I've never robbed a bank. I have never killed anybody. I have been pretty honest on my taxes. And so, between my goodness in my own eyes and my lack of badness, I think I'm going to make it. Jesus has another and a better and a right answer to the question of how someone can know that they are going to go to heaven and have forgiveness and eternal life. And only Jesus. And he shares that clearly in John chapter 10. We're going to pick up today in verse number 11 as we think about Jesus, our shepherd. John chapter 10. We're going to pick up in verse number 11. You can read along. If you have your Bible, you can read along on the screen. Jesus says this, "I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, since he is not the shepherd and doesn't own the sheep, leaves them and runs away when he sees a wolf coming. The wolf then snatches and scatters them. This happens because he is a hired hand and doesn't care about the sheep." Jesus says in verse 14 then, "I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me." With that, let's pray. Lord, would you drive home the truth about the good shepherd today? And may we be challenged and moved to respond to the sweet sound of the eternal, gracious, merciful shepherd in our life. In your name we pray. Amen. As you look in John chapter 10, we find Jesus gives this metaphor of him being a shepherd and people being like sheep. This is not anything new. We know back one of the most famous passages in all of the Old Testament is Psalm 23 that says, "The Lord is my shepherd." Now Jesus is taking this theme of being a shepherd and defines himself as a good shepherd in verse number 11 who gives his life for the sheep. And Jesus says in verse 14, "I am the good shepherd and I know my sheep and am known by my sheep." Jesus here lays out for us that he is a shepherd who comes into our life to bring a personal relationship and to direct us in life and to secure us for eternity. Jesus, as a good shepherd, has a relationship with us and he directs us in life and secures us for eternity. So as we think about Jesus the shepherd today, I really want to kind of lay on three different thoughts that we find in John chapter 10. And if you have your Bible, keep your Bible open. We're going to look at some other verses as well in John 10. But notice back in verse number 11, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd." First off, we see that Jesus shares his concern for the sheep. "I am a good shepherd." A good shepherd is going to care for his sheep. Now, there were three major challenges for sheep in that day. And let me just tell you, when Jesus calls us sheep, that is far less than any kind of flattery at all. Sheep are unintelligent, ignorant animals. And Jesus basically looks out at a group of people and says, you all need a shepherd, and so I'm willing to be that shepherd. But Jesus shows and shares his concern for the sheep. Now, sheep had three major challenges. One was sheep have this desire to stray, to do their own thing. 700 years before Jesus came, in Isaiah 53:6, it says, all we like sheep have gone astray. If we would look at God as the shepherd of our life, all of us at some time have thought something, said something, or done something that has displeased God, and we have gotten off God's course for our life. All of us. Basically, it's called sin. Most people don't like to talk about it. Most people don't want to admit it. But the Bible tells us all of us have sinned. We've all at some time had a thought, a word, or an action that was out of God's will for our life and out of bounds as far as the moral law that God sets for us. And sheep have a tendency to stray. But sheep also have enemies. In verse number 10, we picked up reading in verse number 11, but in verse number 10 of John 10, it says that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. When sheep got out, especially when they were straying, they were utterly defenseless. I mean, think about a sheep. They don't growl, they don't bark, they don't run fast, they don't have big teeth and bite. They are really utterly helpless, and so they are vulnerable. Now, in Matthew chapter 9, Jesus would look out at a group of people in the towns and villages where he was, and he would look out upon them and say, man, as I look at these people, I see that they are distressed and dejected like sheep without a shepherd. There's something missing in their life. They feel a sense of distress, overwhelmed. They feel heavy in their life. And they feel dejected. Maybe it's a sense of sadness or misery. They're unhappy. Something isn't right in their life. And Jesus would look out over the towns and villages and say, man, this is where people are today. And often when that happens, people begin to stray and they begin to try things. They go into the world of immorality or in the world of hookup culture, or they try to mess with their genetics, or they think, man, I'm just going to pursue work and materialism and possessions, and I'm going to get out and do all of these things. And at those times when we're looking for answers out there, that's often when the enemy comes and he sells us lies. He comes to steal and destroy. He wants to take our life and lead us down the wrong kinds of paths. But thirdly, Jesus, as he's referring here, sheep have a tendency to stray and sheep have enemies, but there are hired hands. These are called bad influencers. These were the religious influencers of those days. But in verse number 12, he mentions there are hired hands. These were the religious leaders of that day who were happy to pour heavy loads of law on people. They were happy to fill people with guilt and shame. But when people had problems, they were willing to flee. Or when enemies come, they were doing their own thing. It kind of reminds me of a TV show that I don't watch a lot of TV. But one of the shows that when I watch TV, I have a tendency to turn on is the show To Catch a Smuggler. Now, To Catch a Smuggler is when they're trying to bring drugs in, like into the United States and get through TSA and the airports and all of that kind of stuff. And what happens oftentimes, and I've watched the show enough times, this is what often happens. Someone is distressed and dejected. They're facing a hard time. Someone befriends them. And then when they befriend them, they say, hey, can you do something for us? And if you just carry this package across this border, then we're going to pay you. And man, your life's going to be better. And then they get over, they get caught, and then there's no one there to help them. What we find is sheep have this tendency to stray, and because they can be vulnerable, they are often taken advantage of. And we have a culture today that will tell people just to do whatever you want. If it feels good, do it. If you have your desire, just do it. You'll feel fulfilled for this. And listen, we have the most unhappy culture probably that we have ever known, even though life in the past has been much more physically demanding and difficult. People have bought into the lies of the enemy. But Jesus says, I'm a good shepherd. But the second thing that we see, not only is that Jesus shares his concern, but that Jesus demonstrates his sacrifice for the sheep. We notice in verse number 11 where Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. He gives his life. Now, there's this theological question of Jesus giving his life, and who's responsible for the death of Jesus? Who's responsible for that death? Well, the Bible tells us that the Jews clearly plotted to kill Jesus. In Mark 8, Mark 9, and Mark 10, Jesus says that the Son of Man is going to go into Jerusalem, and he is going to be betrayed. He's going to be condemned by the leaders, the religious leaders of that day, and he is going to be crucified and then rise again. Three times. And this is exactly the plan that the Jewish leadership of that day, the religious leadership, wanted to have happen. They hire Judas, he betrays Jesus, Jesus is ultimately put on a cross. So we see, yeah, it must have been their fault. Well, the Romans were the one who actually executed Jesus. And the Romans were professionals at execution. When we think about the Romans, they had this theme of execution worked out on the cross so that the most pain could be inflicted before that moment of facing death. The Romans, they're responsible. And yet the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 15:3 that Christ died for our sin according to the scripture. Can I tell you today that as I scan all of us today, we are responsible for the death of Jesus because Jesus died for our sin. Jesus died to take the penalty and the punishment for our sin. Because God is just and must punish sin, God punished Jesus. But we also find 1 John 4:10 that God, here in his love, not that we love God, but that God loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sin. So God has a part in this. God sends Jesus. And then here in John 10:11, Jesus says, he gave his life for the sheep. And did you know all five of these things are true all at the same time? The Jews, the Romans, God, Jesus laid down his life, and we are responsible. We are the purpose. We are the cause. But all of these things came into God's sovereign hand as this happened. Jesus laid down his life for the sheep. Now, it's very interesting because this is mentioned not only in verse number 11, but if you have your Bible open, look in verse number 15, verse 17, and verse number 18. Because in each of these verses, it tells us that Jesus laid down his life. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Down in verse number 15, I lay down my life for the sheep. Verse number 17, I lay down my life. Verse number 18, I lay it down on my own. I lay it down on my own. Do you realize that if Jesus did not consciously and volitionally of his own will go to the cross, he could have stopped it easily. Matter of fact, when Jesus was arrested in the garden, it tells us that Peter took out a sword and he struck off the ear of the high priest's servant named Malchus. And Jesus then in Matthew 26:35 says this, look, put that away. Don't you know that if I wanted to, I could call 12 legion of angels. Now a legion is 6,000. I can call 72,000 angels. Now look back in 2 Kings chapter 19 and think about that for a moment. I think around verse 28 or verse 35. I think it's verse 28. It tells us that there was one angel who went out to the Assyrian camp who were getting ready to attack God's people. And this is what happened. One angel killed 185,000 Assyrians. 185,000. Now, Jesus could have wiped out the whole city by sending one angel. Matter of fact, when you think about it, there were between 60 and 120 million people in the Roman Empire at this time. Now, if we take the high number of 120 and we think about one angel killing 185,000, did you realize it will take less than 650 angels to wipe out the whole Roman Empire? You still have 71,500 plus angels that can sit and watch. Listen, Jesus consciously, volitionally laid down his life to take the punishment and the penalty for our sin. But Jesus not only says he laid down his life, but Jesus took his life back. And it says that clearly in this passage as well. As we look at this passage, Jesus says in verse number 17, I lay down my life so that I may take it up again. Verse 18, I lay it down on my own. I have the right, the authority, the power to take it up again. This, my friends, is the message of the resurrection. And when Jesus died, he did take up his life again. We read it in Matthew chapter 28. After the Sabbath, on the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to view the tomb. And there was a violent earthquake because an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and approached the tomb, and he pulled back the stone and was sitting on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards were so shaken by fear of him that they became like dead men. And the angel told the women, don't be afraid. I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen. Come see the place where he lay. Listen, Jesus said, I'm going to lay down my life, and I have the power to take it up again. And listen, Jesus didn't need the stone rolled away, but the angel came and rolled the stone away so that everyone could look in, and that for 2,000 years we could recognize there is an empty tomb today. Jesus is alive. That's the truth of the resurrection. Now listen, as we think about this moment in history, and I love it. It says there's this earthquake and the angel rolls back the stone and the soldiers are on the ground like dead men. And man, this angel, he's just perched on the stone. I call him the angel with an attitude. He has an attitude. Jesus is alive, and I want you to see it. Jesus demonstrated his sacrifice. Listen, Jesus died to pay the penalty for your sin. And he rose again. That's the message. That is the foundational thought of what Resurrection Sunday is all about. You can come, you can have a good time, you can appease your family, but recognize one day you will stand before God, and either you will pay the punishment for your sin, or you will have transferred that punishment to Jesus by trusting what he did on the cross for you. Romans 10:9 makes it very clear. If you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you can be saved. You can be forgiven. You can be assured. But I want us to slide down just a few verses as Jesus continues this theme of being a good shepherd. Slide down with me to verse number 27, John 10, 27. And I want us to read just a couple more verses together. John 10, 27 says this, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Here, Jesus shows his relationship to the sheep. Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. Now, Jesus the mass of humanity would look out over people and say, man, I feel sorry for these people because they are distressed and dejected, harassed and helpless. They are like sheep without a shepherd. But now Jesus turns and looks at those who trust and believe and says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And Jesus shares with us three things he does for the sheep. And three things that he is involved in with the sheep. First off, Jesus knows them. Jesus knows his sheep. Jesus knows his sheep. It is one thing for people to say, man, I know Jesus. It's another thing for Jesus to say, I know you. You ever get those phone calls that come up, spam risk? I don't know those people, and I ain't answering. I'm not. Spam risk? Nope. I get other numbers that come. And if you are ever one of those numbers, just leave a message if you're not in my phone. Because most of the time, I get all kinds of calls of people that don't know me and want to talk about things I don't really care to buy. Jesus says, for us as believers, when we call to heaven in prayer, we're on his caller ID. I know my sheep. I know them. You know, there are some that Jesus will say in that day, who they have come and they've said, oh, Lord, Lord, you know, man, I believe in Jesus. And some of them will say, man, you know, I even preached here and I did some good things over here. And Jesus will say in Matthew 7, 21 to 23, depart from me, I never knew you. The issue, my friend, is not whether you say that you know Jesus. The real issue is whether Jesus knows you. Jesus knows his sheep. Next, we find that Jesus gives his sheep eternal life. He gives them eternal life. He says, I know my sheep. And he says, and I give unto them eternal life. That means that we're going to have heaven forever. That means that we're secure forever. And then Jesus, in 27 and 28, as he's giving this picture, Jesus shows that he secures his sheep. He says, no one can ever snatch them out of my hand. Jesus gives him eternal life, and he says, look, man, they are secure. Jesus secures his sheep. No one can take them out of my hand. And he says, my Father, who is greater than all, no one can take them out of his hand. So it's like I'm in Jesus' hand, I'm in the Father's hand, and I am absolutely safe and secure. Jesus secures his sheep. If you know Jesus today and Jesus knows you, I want to tell you, life is not always easy. Life has lots of challenges and difficulties. Life has sorrow. Believers get cancer, and believers grieve loved ones. Believers lose jobs. We all go through those difficult times of life, and yet there still is this inner joy because we know Jesus lives, and we're going to dwell with him for all eternity, and we are secure. But everybody, put your notes away just for a minute, because I have three things I want to tell you before we go. Jesus says, as far as the sheep, I know them. He says already back in verse number 14, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by mine. But Jesus says in verse 27 of John 10, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. There's really three questions that we have to answer on Easter Sunday. Three questions that all of us have to answer. In John 10, 14, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by mine. Do you know Jesus? And does Jesus know you? That's the number one question. Are you in a personal relationship with him? Many people think that Christianity is just a bunch of rules, a code of ethics. You're to do this, not do that. You're to follow this and not say that. And it's not that at all. It's a relationship with Jesus. That's why we talk about knowing him. It's not a bunch of knowing rules. It's about knowing and having a personal relationship with him, a living Savior. So my question number one is, do you know him? Question number two comes out of verse number 27. Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. Do you hear his voice? Through the scripture, through the spirit, through the Lord speaking through others and circumstances and your conscience. Do you hear the Lord when he speaks to you? One of the challenges of being a pastor and being at the same place for several years is people recognize my voice, which is a wonderful thing until you're talking with someone, a nurse, as you're walking back to prep for your colonoscopy, and someone turns around and says, I knew I recognized that voice, and then it's not so good. That's not such a happy moment, all right? True confession, really did happen. Do you know his voice? Do you know his voice? And then Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Listen, this is not Pastor Buddy's words. These are Jesus' words. And there are a lot of people who will come, and they'll talk about church, or they'll talk about Lord, or they'll talk about knowing the Lord. But Jesus says, my sheep, I know them, and they know me. My sheep hear my voice, and my sheep follow me. You can be a church goer and a church attender and a church member and a church teacher and a church giver and a church servant. You can do all of those things and not be a follower of Jesus. You can do all the outward things. Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Are you a follower of Jesus? I think this is my 33rd year in a row to speak on Easter Sunday. And to the hundreds of thousands of people I've spoken to on Easter Sunday, I often wonder, have they come just out of tradition? And I'm so glad you're here, even if you come to appease somebody else. But I want to tell you what Jesus says. The living Savior says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Are you hearing, and are you following? Today, Easter Sunday 2024, Resurrection Day, your life can be radically and eternally changed. When you come to recognize what Jesus did for you, on the cross, as he died to take the punishment for your sin, and he rose again from the dead. You can be forgiven of all the things you've ever done wrong, every thought you've ever had, every word you've ever said, every action that you've ever committed. Because here's the best news about Jesus and the resurrection. Our goodness can keep us out when we trust that, but our badness doesn't have to. We can take our sinful badness to the Lord and receive full forgiveness. I was reading in Smithsonian Magazine online this week, and I read an interesting story. It happened back in 1830. A man named George Wilson, he went before the courts, and he was guilty. He was guilty of obstructing delivery of the mail, robbery of the mail, and endangering the life of mail carriers. So he is convicted in 1830. He has some friends that later come and lobby for him. He is going to receive the death penalty for this, 1830. He has some friends in high places who come to lobby to him. And Andrew Jackson, the president at that time, pardons him. Now, the right of the executive branch is can pardon. It says that the executive branch, the president, has power to grant reprieve and pardons for offenses against the United States. But here's the problem. George Wilson refused the pardon. And nobody knew what to do. What do you do with a man who refuses a pardon? So, the case went all the way to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court said this, a pardon is a deed to the validity of which delivery is essential, and delivery is not complete without acceptance. It may then be rejected by the person to whom it is tendered. Pardon doesn't happen unless it's accepted. And Smithsonian said that George Wilson was later hanged. I want to tell you today, there is pardon that can be granted for all the things that you've done wrong when you trust what Jesus did on the cross. There can be forgiveness and eternal life and a new relationship with Jesus offered. But he has to be accepted. It means turning from my way of life and trusting self and the things of my life and turning to him alone. And let me tell you, one day, every one of us will give an account of what we did with the person of Jesus. We either make that decision now, or we face the punishment for our own sins, away from God forever in hell, forever. Have you accepted the pardon? Do you know him? Do you hear him? Are you following him? My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. With that, let's pray. I want to ask you today, I just want to make this very clear. Today, if God's speaking to you, and you know, hey, I've got sin in my life, I know I've not been perfect. And the Bible says Jesus died on the cross to pay the penalty or to take the punishment for your sin, and he rose again from the dead, and you can receive forgiveness, acceptance, pardon, but you have to trust him alone. You have to be willing to turn from trusting self and living your own way to say, Jesus, today I hear your voice. Today, Jesus, I'm choosing to come to know you. And Jesus, I want to be one of your sheep who follow. If you're here today and you don't know where you stand for eternity, you're going to be like all of those friends wondering in that last hour at the funeral, where did he go? Will they be wondering, where did you go? Today in your heart, it comes to a place of humbling yourself and saying, Lord, I know I'm not perfect. I've sinned. But I trust Jesus alone as the only way of forgiveness. Jesus, I'm sorry for my sin. I turn from my sin. I trust you alone. I believe you took my penalty on the cross and rose again. Jesus, come into my life. I want to be one of your sheep. I want you to be my shepherd. Would you call out to him today? The pardon has been extended, but the pardon has to be accepted. Lord Jesus, thank you for this moment. May we be mindful for those of us who have received the pardon of what this day means. And Lord, if there's anyone who has not received Jesus, may they do that today. In your name, amen.